not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Welcome, initiates, to another episode of the Awake Not Woke podcast. This is episode 32, and we're going to be talking about, is Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior? Question mark. Spoiler alert, he is, but not in the way that you think. So we're going to be talking about Christianity from our perspectives. Chas has a lot of background in Christianity. If you've listened to our past episodes, I have less background in Christianity, but I still find the teachings in the Bible very valuable. And we're going to be talking all things Christianity in this episode. So I think you're going to like this one. We have some really interesting conversations. We get deep, we get philosophical. Stay tuned for all of that. But before we move on, your usual reminders. Give us a follow on Instagram at Awake Not Woke Podcast. We have a Twitter at Awake Not Woke Pod. And we have a website, awakenotwokepodcast.com. We have a contact page on that website. If you don't do social media, but you want to hit us up, you have a question, you have something to say, get on that contact page and send us an email. We will reply. We love to hear from you guys. So please do that. Another thing I would really appreciate you doing is leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. There's like thousands of you that listen to this podcast and we have 28 reviews. So come on, y'all. Most of you guys got iPhones. Just go leave a nice review. That would really help us out. And Spotify has reviews now too. So if you're a Spotify user, drop some stars our way on Spotify as well. We would also love if you followed or subscribe on whatever app you're using so you don't miss our episodes when they drop on Sundays at 4:44 a.m. Eastern Time. Don't want you to miss any of them. We have so many good ones coming up. And finally, if you find yourself receiving value from listening to this podcast, whether it's informational value or just entertainment value, whatever value you find yourself experiencing, consider reimbursing that to us with our value for value model. We have a merch shop. The link is in the show notes, so go check that out. That you can purchase some cool merch from us and choose your own price for some of these things, or you can just donate to us because we want to keep giving you the highest quality content without interruptions. So we need your support. And support my amazing co-host Chas with her Etsy shop as well. It's called 5D Impressions Shop. She makes hand-stamped jewelry. She's got some cool spiritual apparel, all kinds of stuff on there. That's also in the show notes. So just go tap on that and go check us both out. And yeah, I think I covered all my bases. So episode 32 on Christianity with your hosts, myself and Chas of the Awake Not Woke podcast. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Awake Not Woke.
Take two.
Welcome back to Awake Not Woke podcast. I just did it again.
I can't do it.
Okay. Okay, just give me a sec. Welcome back to Awake Not Woke podcast. This is Chas and Sarah.
Hello.
Today, I am really excited for this episode and this conversation that we're going to have. We're going to talk a lot about the idea of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, but not in the way that you might think or perceive. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Christianity, but what I really am excited to talk about is my personal evolution in my beliefs on God and what I think that means. And over the course of this time that we've, you know, been doing this podcast, I think even my own views have changed on certain things. And when I say changed, I guess I would mean more evolved.
Yeah.
I don't think I've taken any hard turns in any certain direction by any means. But I'm excited to talk about the growth that has occurred and kind of some insights that I feel like I've gained and some things that I know you want to talk about in reference to your background on biblical stuff, but also just this idea of who or what is God and
yeah,
who or what is our Savior and why. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for this episode, especially because within the spiritual community, and then that cross section of conspirituality slash patriot slash Republican kind of not that we're Republican, but we often find ourselves talking in these types of circles where there's a lot of patriot type people, and a lot of these patriot type people end up being Christians. And that's great. I think all spiritual values matter. that sentence format just really we need to get that stigma away from that. Anyway, I really do though. I think that all spiritual viewpoints matter and are important, and we need to take them into consideration. And Christianity just happens to be a very popular one and a very controversial one in modern day United States of America.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to intro into this with talking a little bit about what we believe in, not believe, but something, I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
What we know up until this point, because
yes,
what we know
point.
Kind of changes over time. And I think that's what's supposed to happen. That's the evolution of our own personal consciousness, but also that's how our consciousness has evolved thus far.
Yeah. And from my perspective, in this last like few years that I've been really serious about learning more about the esoteric, the occult, about conspiracies, I have found to be true that the Bible contains important and esoteric information. That right there is a statement that I can say confidently.
For sure.
And as far as hardcore biblical study, I personally don't have a lot of experience, but I do know what my understanding of God is, and I have found a lot of commonality between Christians in many aspects. There are fundamentally things that confuse me about some classical Christian people, mm-hmm. and some of the things that Christians often like are just hard set on and you cannot change their mind on, that just don't make sense to me. And we'll get into more of that in a minute. But I know what I have come to understand as God, and that is often found in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where my understanding of Christianity is like at. I can't like quote Bible verses. I have to do a little more research to kind of back up what I believe when it comes to finding it in the Bible, but I do understand that much.
Yeah. One thing that's really been a game changer for me, first of all, in the last several weeks, I have been doing a lot of different study, I guess, mostly related to Jesus and God in the Bible. And when I say study, I'm not a, you know, profound scholar by any means, but I have been dedicating diligent time to kind of dissecting the Bible. And I do that through way of, we've got this Bible app we both have. So there's a verse of the day, but also there's these, they call them plans, but they're devotions. So a devotional or a devotion is basically, you might find them like Chicken Soup for the Soul. Those are like devotionals.
No way.
Yeah.
I loved Chicken Soup for the Soul as a kid. Those are Christian?
Well, I think, I don't know about if it's Christian or not, that specific thing, but I think a devotional is basically something where you're devoting your time to learning or studying it.
Okay.
So with these plans, they've got 3-day plans, 7-day plans, 10-day plans. But it's this idea of a topic, you know, talking, learning about this topic. Maybe that topic is marriage. And then in this particular app, and in the study that I'm embarking on, it's using biblical references to help you learn more or dissect more of that concept. So I've done a bunch of different plans at this point. But one thing that I have learned, Christianity, this was really game changing for me. I'm going to try and say it in the way that I heard it, because that's what hit me the hardest. But Christianity is a religion about Jesus. It's not the religion of God, though. That would be more so like Judaism. And back when you go into the Bible during that time, when they talked about God, they were talking about like the God. Christianity developed after the story of Jesus. So after Jesus went through all of that. And why that was so impactful for me was because my upbringing, I've referenced so many times during this, but I was very under the impression that Christianity was the and only way to learn about God, but that's really not true.
Yes.
And that's
something that I find a lot of Christians believe. And mm-hmm. when I try and talk to someone who is a very classical Christian person, even if they're very open-minded, you start talking about like astrology or something or witchcraft or occult
whatever.
Studies.
Yeah.
And it kind of just like shuts down.
Yeah. And I think that and I don't mean to speak for all Christians, again, not trying to shit on anybody here.
Not at all.
But I think it's really easy to pigeonhole yourself when you are involved in any type of religion or church or congregation. It's really easy to just believe that and only that. So when I started processing that Christianity was a religion about Jesus, that opened up worlds for me. Like, I don't know why I needed to hear it. Maybe it was just said in the right way with the right words at the right time. Sometimes that stuff happens and it's very synchronistic and it changes yeah. your life. So maybe that was the case for me, but it really flipped a switch in my brain to understand that I can know more about God without focusing solely on this idea of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He is. we'll break that down.
Yeah.
We'll break it down.
Yeah.
But what I'm more interested in now is the history, and that does involve Jesus. And with the story of Jesus, you can learn so much about God. And what I find so profound about the story of Jesus is it is probably one of the most purest expressions of God's love.
Yeah.
And it makes it easy for people to understand, which is probably why Christianity has taken to the majority of the people, in my opinion. I don't know if that's true, but that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah. And I love that because I feel like I've also heard a lot of the same hardcore Christians who shut down when I talk about occultism or something say those exact things to me about how Jesus Christ is a very pure story of God's love. And that's the key, I think, to discerning the difference between this is the only way to this is a great way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can find your way, but then there's also no harm in saying that's a great way. I just want to learn all the other ways to know God's love. And there's a lot of different ways to mm-hmm. do that. And a lot of study is involved to understand that all of these things are saying pretty much the same thing, but some of them are going to resonate more with others. And Dean Fortune in the Kabbalah talks about how when we're incarnated, we chose our incarnation for specific reasons. And if you're incarnated in a Western society, it's chances are you're going to want some Western stuff to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to need to go fly over across seas to some forest, like rainforest somewhere to learn your lesson. I mean, maybe, but your tools are going to be within reach because you're learning, you have a lesson, you have a journey, a purpose, a destination, whatever you want to call it when you are born into this lifetime. So Dean Fortune suggests that we should not stray away from our culture
yeah.
and learn more about it and learn it from our own unique perspective rather than just taking someone else's word for it.
Yeah. I love that so much. That kind of brings me into, we were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and what I felt was a bomb drop was not for Sarah, but for me, it was a huge bomb
drop.
Yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, no, totally.
So I, growing up in the church that I did, and if you have any type of church upbringing background, you may have heard it in those establishments too. But one thing that was always said over and over again, the backsliders always come back. And I was really viewing myself as a backslider for a minute. And what I now know is obviously I'm not, but that whole idea of you always come back, it felt very defeating for me. And not because what you're saying isn't true. I know that that's true. And now I understand it from a very different perspective. But at the time, a couple weeks ago, it felt like I'd ran away from the wrong thing. And
you felt like you were wrong.
Yeah. And that's like what's crazy to me is because I'm not somebody that is going to yell at you if I think I'm right and you're wrong. Like maybe with my husband, we might grindle, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But like generally speaking, I'm very comfortable with the idea that somebody else might have a different view than me, and that's okay. I at least I think I am. But this inner turmoil that I had was I felt like I had left truth. And I, in some ways I did, because I was looking for it elsewhere. But what I came back to was God. It wasn't the church that I came back to. It wasn't the religion that I came back to. And for a minute there, though, I was really in my head about, like, I think I am a Christian. Which I don't mean to shit on anybody, but for me, that's just not something that I ever thought that I would venture down this path again. And now I couldn't be more grateful that I have, because I really feel like I have come back to God in a way that I never expected. This whole podcast, we talk about God and our spirituality and all of that. And that's not to say that anything I've said up until this point isn't true or factual for me, but what's changed is that I have a relationship with God now. And I think before it was lacking a bit. And I think it's because I had this fear of being wrong, returning back to something that I shouldn't have turned away from. So that's kind of what got me into this realm here.
But what's important about that too is you're coming back to God, but like we talked about when we first had this conversation a few weeks ago, you're getting to know God on a new octave.
Yes, he was never gone.
No, and it's not even like you never understood this before. You understood it when we first read the Kabbalah. You understood it way back when you were in church. You understood this concept, but it's that leveling up process, that spiritual alchemy process where you reached a new octave and now you got to relearn it all again, mm-hmm. but from that higher octave. So it's just a beautiful representation of that spiritual alchemy process with this specifically too, because like you said before, Jesus is a beautiful story. It is a story full of symbolism and stories that explain the nature of God, which is not a dude in the sky, but anthropomorphizing him is a good way to explain things. We know that with the Greek gods and mythology there and Roman mythology as well. They're great stories and they teach real amazing concepts. But with this story in particular, it's already a beautiful story. And now here you are learning it on a even deeper level.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting? I said deeper and higher octave, that as above, so below. I just think that's so interesting that there's so many different ways to explain that, because you are understanding it deeper within you, but you're learning it at a higher level without.
Yeah. And another thing that's come up in all of this evolvement over the last several weeks, I just had this kind of come to me the other day, and I really feel like it's true. You won't ever find me gatekeeping God. And I think that in these communities, in a spiritual community, there's a lot of gatekeeping that goes around. And I'm even guilty of it. And I realized that because I had this moment of, I think I learned to gatekeep God because of being involved in such a very like man-made religion with man-made standards and man-made rules, and all of those things were the way to holiness. And maybe that's not what they intended it to be as far as gatekeeping a relationship with God, but I think that that's kind of how I digested it. And then that's kind of what I began to repeat.
I think that's what happens when you learn of the concept of God from someone else and not from yourself. Because even as a kid, I was not raised heavily, heavily Christian. I said the Lord's Prayer like every night before bed with my dad, and that was pretty much it. We didn't really go to church. I went to church like occasionally with my mom, but not very Christian. And I remember like asking questions like, so where is God? Like, where is Jesus Christ? And I'd get various answers like in your heart, and like he's in heaven. And as a kid, you're like, okay, so he's a dude somewhere in some other dimension. Okay. And I just moved on. And that never really made any fucking sense to me, because I'm like, what? So it's like Santa? Like, what? What are we talking about here? But that's because someone else was telling me what God was and not giving me the opportunity to find God myself.
Yeah. And I don't ever want to gatekeep someone else. So whether or not, even breaking it down to like whether or not you and I understand God, you have your own perception of God, I have my own. And that doesn't mean they're different. It just means that we're different. Like, we're two people. So for us to have the exact same thought about every single thing, it's never going to happen with you or anyone else. But for me to tell you that your perception of God is wrong or somehow inaccurate, it's, you wouldn't never dream of doing that.
Yeah.
But what is happening, I feel like, at least what happened to me, is that's kind of how it translated to me. If it wasn't this way, if it wasn't this religion, if it wasn't this church, it wasn't really God. And now I know that is not true at all. But I just wanted to say that while we're kind of early in this conversation, because I don't want to ever come off in that way. I want everybody to feel, I don't know. I don't ever want to come off that I'm saying it right. Because again, I don't really care about that. I care about what's right for me, but like, that's it. And I don't want other people gatekeeping God. So I don't know if that resonates with anybody, but if it does, hopefully.
Yeah. And I mean, that resonates with me on the sense that recently I posted on Instagram that it was actually a tweet that Chas tweeted and reposted onto Instagram. Your tweets just get everybody riled up.
I don't mean to.
I know. They're so innocent. And I don't even think of it. And then everyone's like commenting on it. But it was a tweet, something along the lines of like,
all is love, we are love, all is God, we are God, kind of a deal.
Yeah. And then you said like, yeah, you said all is love, love is God, God is you, God is me, we are God, something like that.
Yeah.
And that really upset some people because, which I understand in a way, when you are raised thinking that you are a God fearing God is this holy, almighty being, to say I am God is a very like Satanist, like
for sure,
evil thing to say. But I was commenting with some of the commenters. Most of them were great and just like, I don't understand what you're saying and let me challenge you a little bit, which I love. Keep bringing that. Challenge me to articulate. I love it. But one of them was just, no. And I'm like, that's great. We can disagree. Like, it's fine.
Right.
But also, yes, from my perspective.
Yeah.
It's silly to think that, oh, I know God. You don't know God. I know God.
And that's what I mean by gatekeeping is I just, exactly. I think it's really, it's not a good thing to do. And no. It's definitely not what God would want. So,
and you can't possibly physically understand all that is God because God is infinite and we are finite. And like scientifically, we can't understand infinity. So there's absolutely no way that any one person could possibly fully encompass that which is God. Therefore, I need your perspective because if I listen to your perspective, I'm a little bit closer to actually knowing God.
Yeah.
Because we're all God. We're all part of God. We're all part of this holy primordial soup energy. Therefore, I need to know everyone's perspective on God. Not need to, but I want to because that's how I like to understand and see the full picture as much as I can.
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
It did. I think, and that was a great, you said it perfectly. That's exactly what I mean by gatekeeping God is nobody's relationship with God is better than or worse than one another. We are all just, we are God experiencing ourselves. So, and when we say I am God, the energy that's behind that is not from a holier than thou perspective. It's not even, I very much fear God still. The fact that God exists is enough for me to be humbled because what would even be going on if there wasn't?
Literally nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, the idea that we are these bits of consciousness of God and we are simulating this third dimensional reality for us to exist and experience in, by that logic, in which that's kind of where my belief lies as far as like the nature of reality in terms of this concept, I believe that literally nothing would be going on. I believe literally nothing goes on when you close your eyes, like let alone if God didn't exist.
Yeah. Okay. Another concept that has come up for me is, and I think this might even have been in, somebody had said it in the comments on that post. Well, why would God allow all these bad things to happen?
Which is a great question.
It's a really great question. And honestly, I don't know that I have, again, the quote, right answer. But what I do know is that as long as we have free will, there's room for evil to get in.
And almost, it's naturally going to happen when we have free will. And I think it's important to like asterisk note that we're talking from our third dimensional bodies because we all live in a third dimension and we live here in this world, and that's as much as we can exist from. On a universal, dimensional, all dimensions included scale, do I know what the fuck good and evil is? Absolutely not. Mm-mm. But as far as this third dimension, like there's people in the houses around us right now, and we all have our own existing lives, NPCs not included. Do I believe that we have free will? Absolutely. And if I believe that we have free will, and I believe in the balance of the duality, in the Trinity of God being on top and the dark and the light being underneath him, then there has to be evil. There just has to be. In every third dimensional thing, there has to be evil.
Yeah.
In every naturally occurring thing. I don't know. That's what makes sense.
And you literally need it in order to find oneself. The whole journey, that's what God wants, is for us to come back to him, to come back to knowing in that relationship. And if there was no other choice, that's all we would be doing. But the whole point of all of this, of God experiencing himself through us, is so that we do. And that's why I think we have to have free will. But as long as that exists, bad things are still going to happen. And that doesn't mean that God's punishing us. It means that it's part of this journey. It's part of God's plan, or whatever you want to say.
And while we're on this topic of like good and evil, if you don't have the answer, that's fine, because I didn't prep you for this. But can we talk about like Satan and Lucifer and the difference between those icons in the Bible?
Because
I have absolutely no idea, first of all. And second of all, with my understanding of God, God created everything. Therefore, he created Satan, right?
I mean, I think...
Or did Satan exist in existence with God at the beginning?
Yeah, because already? I'm pretty sure that Lucifer was, you know...
But Lucifer and Satan are different, aren't they? Lucifer's like the fallen angel version of Satan.
I don't know. From my understanding and my upbringing, I'll say that, because that's the most Bible context that I have, is what I learned age 0 through 17.
Yeah.
So,
and that's more than me, so.
And is it right? I have no idea. So if you have more insight on this, anybody listening, please tell us. It is my understanding that Satan is just another name.
Okay.
Lucifer, Satan, it's the same thing. When you get into other religions and maybe occult principles, maybe that's not true, and maybe what I'm saying isn't true. But from my understanding, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, that's like all the same, like not person, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, entity.
Like, I don't think that it's separate, but I really don't know the answer to that. I know that there's a lot of stories in the Bible about Jesus being tempted by Satan, and Satan specifically. And then there's other times when it's referred to as Lucifer or the devil. So
I feel like in my context of most the biblical knowledge that I have is from the occult perspective, because I didn't grow up with this background. And I feel like I heard some ebook podcast somewhere that Lucifer and Satan were different. But then again, it's just some biblical scholar interpreting that.
Yeah. I think actually Know Thyself released an episode kind of breaking down the nature of Lucifer. And I think, from what I remember, I think a lot of people are saying that they're not the same. So to answer your question, I have no fucking clue.
Because
from what I know,
right,
all the same.
And I guess the main thing that logistically I would want to understand when I'm having a conversation with a Christian about my beliefs, quotes, versus their beliefs, quotes, about these like nuances of God in the Bible, I would want to know, like, canonically, if God created Satan, or God like accidentally created Satan, or like God and Satan existed at the beginning of time together, because that would help me understand too, on like a symbolic level, all of that. Because when you start asking about evil, you are bringing into the question of Satan from that Christian perspective. And if either way, I feel like if God created Satan, there's some conversation to be had there, or if Satan and God existed at the same time. But it's got to be one of those. It's not like Satan created God. So either way, I feel like there is a metaphor for the understanding that one has to exist for the other to fully embody or understand itself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That would be a really interesting thing to study, to hear other people's perspectives, but also to help shape my own.
Because exactly, yeah.
Up until this point, I just know devil, Satan, Lucifer,
bad,
bad, bad, bad.
So
But yeah, so that was just my little blip on free will and why bad things happen. I don't think any of us know why bad things happen. But as far as in relation to God, I don't think that God is punishing us when bad things happen. I think that is a result of each individual speck having the freedom to do as thy will. So that's where my head is at with all of that. Another thing that's really helped open me up to these ideas is the Book of Enoch. So still not finished with it yet, but holy shit. That is, I feel like, in maybe there's probably legitimacy that needs to be proven with certain things. You know, I'm not saying that it's the end all be all, but I feel like it was kind of the missing link. Like there's a lot of things in the Bible that you just kind of wonder, like astrology, for instance. The Book of Enoch references the astrology and the sun and the moon going in through different houses and all of these different things. It talks about the elements. It talks about archangels, the flood, even references the creation story, which is a whole other thing when it comes to like round earth, flat earth, and don't come at me. I don't know.
Yeah, for real.
Just leave it alone.
Honestly, that's how I'm beginning to feel about like absolutely everything. It's like there are the things that I know, and those things are not things I can explain. They're abstract feelings that like I know God is real. Can I explain what God is in a way that actually represents it? Absolutely not.
No.
And do I know all the logistics between how he created Earth and how many dimensions there are and whether or not we reincarnate and whether or not Jesus actually walked on water and magic was real or Atlantis? Like, I don't know anything. I know that I see inconsistencies in facts that people take for granted to just be hard fact true. And that's why I'm interested in all these things, because there's a lot of inconsistencies. There's a lot more to know. We just take history and just religious facts and historical facts, all is just facts when they're not necessarily facts, but they're stories that need more context. So,
yeah,
I don't know why I went off on that rant.
No, I think everything that you said is real and true for me, too, because I don't know any of these things. I just know it to be true up until this point.
And another thing I know to be true is the social engineers discourage finding God.
Yeah.
And that alone makes me like, huh, like why would you want to do that? And I think honestly, because God is the third perspective. So if we are discouraged from finding the third perspective, we're constantly caught up in the duality.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republican versus Democrat, the black versus white, the constant, this side is good, this side is bad, and vice versa, only exists if we don't know God.
Yeah. And the reality is from that higher perspective, from God's perspective, like, at the risk of sounding very, very Christian, but we are all God's children and he really
Hell yeah.
does love us all. And that's another thing that I want to bring up too, is the concept of God being a he. I think the Bible is very intentional with its verbiage and with its language. I think there are things that are dated. I think that there are translations that might be better or worse than others. I think that there's interpretation that comes into play. But what I do know is God would be the energizing force and we would be the people that God is pouring into, right? Like this receptor. I just listened to another self podcast today about just like women and male and like the energy facet of it. But if we are the experiencer, the receiver, that would kind of make God that he energy.
And we talked about this in the Kabbalah episode as well.
Yeah.
And that was a huge, personally, Kabbalah was, I think, the point where I just was like, Christianity has a lot of legitimacy to it and
yeah.
the story. And that was really easy for me because I didn't have the super yeah. hardcore background that you did. But that makes so much sense. And as a society, we really need to stop getting caught up in our genitals when it comes to he, she, male, female, because energetically, those principles still apply. And it's not male, female. It's yes, no. It's hot, cold.
Yeah.
It's not gendered in that way. So yeah, I don't think God is a she, because that doesn't make sense, because
literally doesn't make sense.
It's giving energy. So yeah, no. And that kind of brings me to what I was randomly texting you about the other night, because I just randomly wanted to look at my boyfriend's family's church website. I don't know why. I just ended up like, I just want to see what they're all about. I've been to it a few times. I honestly enjoy service at this point because I like listening and hearing these principles from another perspective. I've been going to
church every week online.
I love you. That's great. But just out of curiosity, I looked at their website and I was just kind of surprised at how culty it sounded. And Chas was just kind of like, yeah, that's probably going to happen with most church stuff.
Yeah.
But some of the things that really got me and reminded me of like our cults episode and how, and this is not calling Christianity a cult, but it's showing how when we put our faith in another human to tell us the right way is when things get sketchy.
A little hairy.
Because you're not actually learning from God. You're learning from someone else telling you that this is about God.
And your critical thinking is gone at
exactly.
that point.
And you also, we're humans. So you're going to accidentally or purposely slip in some of your own like, oh, and by the way, this is what I think is absolutely true. So I'm just going to throw that in there too.
Right.
And some of the things that were on their website were just kind of confusing to me because they were pretty much saying that they believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and they welcome anybody to their congregation, but they need to teach what they believe is true. So they were just kind of like shitting on gay people in a very respectful way, which a lot of Christians do, which again, if you're reading that marriage should be between a male and a female and you're taking that absolutely literally, then yeah, I understand how you can misinterpret that. But then later on in their about page, they were like, oh, where is it? Oh, women in ministry. They believe that Apostle Paul's prohibition of women was just temporary and local, and it wasn't a permanent restriction. And they believe women are allowed to teach in ministry. And I'm like, where are you getting that? Like, maybe there's something I'm missing, and maybe there's some quote in there that I didn't look up that makes it make sense. But it sounds like you are picking and choosing what makes sense. And maybe the person who wrote this at one point recognized that their wife is a really strong woman, or they had a daughter and they're like, why would I ever not let this person teach? Like, that's ridiculous. And they changed their mind about that, but they still think gay people are wrong. Like,
right.
it gives so much space for listening to the lowercase truths of someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And in relation to that bit about the men and women relationship thing only, one thing that you and I talked about is, you know, back in those Bible days when those commandments were given, when it was very strictly male-female relationships and everything else was a abomination, the purpose at that time was to procreate. God said, fill the earth, procreate, you know, make lots of babies, fill the land. So biologically speaking, I mean, that can only be done with sperm and egg. So it's my perspective that that's more so what was literally being implied, and not that there should never be relationships between same sexes. Like, I think we've come to a point where, again, we're all God's, we're all God's children. And I just like laugh saying that because I just, my brain is still like, what are you saying?
Right.
But I really don't believe that it's an abomination. People are going to.
And honestly, that could be taken energetically as well.
Because we talked about
opposites
that too. Yeah.
Attract is a thing. Like, magnets, opposites attract, like scientifically opposites attract. But everyone knows in relationships, that's often the case as well. You often find someone who fills in the empty spaces that you have, that is your opposite puzzle piece. Because
right.
if you date or marry or be with someone who is too much like you, you also have the same things that set you off. You also have the same weaknesses. It just, it doesn't work as well, but that doesn't really have anything to do with genitals. Like, it, nope. It really doesn't.
No. Nope.
And that's where, again, I stand. I've said this a million times, and I, as far as our one-star reviewer thinks, they aren't understanding this, but I believe you should be able to do whatever you want with your body. I believe there are some conspiratorial aspects of the social engineers trying to corrupt us as humans, but that doesn't mean I don't think that every human has human rights, that they are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want, and mm-hmm. they're allowed to be with whoever the fuck they want. And do I think it's immoral or unnatural to be trans or to be in a gay relationship? No, I don't really have any opinion. I'm not gay or trans. So I think you should do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe. That's like where my...
And it also goes without saying, with everything that you just said, everyone's worthy of love, and everyone, no matter... This is kind of going off on a tangent here, but I think it does need to be said, in spite of that one-star review.
Seriously.
But that's really not... And if we have ever said anything that might be construed otherwise, that's definitely not our intent. Neither one of us feel that way.
We always make it clear.
I think so, but...
That's bizarre.
Had to say it.
For real.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, yeah. You were talking about church website stuff.
Yeah, I was pretty much done with that. It's just... It was something for me that really gave me a context for some of the issues I have with Christianity, because the more I learn about God and occultism and spirituality as a whole, the more I come to love Christianity in the Bible, because it's talking about all the same stuff, especially the Old Testament. There's a lot of really valuable information in there, but you have to read between the lines, and you have to read it for yourself. You can't just go to church or a Bible study and have someone tell you what each line means.
Right.
You have to take it and feel it and know it at a spiritual level, because words will never actually make any of these things make mm-mm. sense. And that's the hardest part to explain to people, because it's like, you can read book after book, you can read the Bible 50,000 times in a row and still not understand it if you're not ready to.
Yeah. And not only not understand it, but it's this, I keep coming back to this concept of relationship, and that's a huge thing in a lot of different churches and things that I've heard is it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And I feel like that's probably one of the truest damn things I've ever heard, because if you have read the Bible 50,000 times, you probably still can't explain it to somebody to the fullest extent in which you feel it. And it's all about really surrendering to this idea that we are not the judge of who God is for everybody else, but also we are not the judge of who's worthy of God's love.
Yeah.
So when people get caught up in this, well, what about pedophiles? What about this?
Right.
Like, obviously pedophiles, shit. Like, I don't,
they're evil.
Evil as fuck. But at the same time, is it up to me?
Also, let's define God's love for a second.
Yeah.
Because I have written in my notes, which are very short. I don't have a lot of notes, but I just have E=mc² written in my notes. And that's because I believe God is energy. I don't think God is a literal dude or a literal being, and a lot of Christians do, but I believe God is energy, and all energy, and everything is made up of energy. And we're back to the I am God thing.
Mm-hmm.
But by that idea, I believe God is love, and God is this energy of love that exists within everything. And I think love is just our best way of describing this energy, because anybody who's taken like DMT psychedelics of any kind and had a like religious like experience on it knows that there's no word, or even not drugs, but like if you've had that otherworldly feeling of connecting with something higher than you, then you know that it's love, but it's not love. It's not like I love you. It's not like I love my boyfriend or my dad. It's love on a universal scale.
And an unconditional scale.
Yeah.
When you get into human nature, you get into conditions. And I'm reading the book right now, but I think it was like last week or something, I watched this movie called The Shack. It's on Netflix.
Oh my God, I read that book.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now.
I don't think I finished it, but I read it in high school for a book report, and I'm pretty sure I just spark notes most of it. But it was interesting.
Yeah, the movie, I'd heard of the book before. My dad actually read it, and I remember him talking to me about it. But the movie was really interesting, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, they break down the Trinity in the shack, and basically how it's laid out is there's God, and they refer to God as Papa, which it's like this weird family inner thing.
Is there like a murder involved in that? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm thinking of the same book then.
Yeah. So when I watched that movie, I'm somebody that's very like, I have to have all the senses involved. So I like to hear it. I like to see it. I like to do it. And I've been studying, I've been doing the work, but I got to watch this movie and it wasn't like I'm devoting my life to the shack. The shack is end all be all. But what I took from it was this concept of God's love that we're talking about. And, Octavia Spencer plays God in this, which now forever, I know we just said God's is definitely a he energy, but now forever I just see her because she just embodied this idea of unconditional love so well.
But that's another way of anthropomorphizing a part of God. And that's why I love metaphors for describing this type of stuff, but we also can't get caught up in them.
No, but what I learned from it was the being worthy of, I guess is what I'm getting at. So I spent years of my life climbing this social ladder within a church in order to be seen as worthy enough or holy enough to be in a higher position. And if I was in a higher position, that meant that my relationship with God was like lit. It meant that like, yeah, she prays every day. She does this every day. She is connected with God. Like if you were in those positions, that's the view that kind of people are viewing you. And when I wasn't getting there, what actually was happening to me is I started harboring this idea that I wasn't worthy of God's love because I wasn't measuring up to a man's standard of God's love. And through the shack, I just had this I'm like sitting on the couch crying just over all this shit. Because what I realized was that, again, it's all about that relationship. And the whole point of this simulation matrix, whatever you want to call it, the whole point is to know God. And the reason why it's important to know yourself is because you are a piece of God. And knowing that, like,
and yourself is the best channel to God because you are incarnated in this body and in this lifetime for a reason.
That's your path of the arrow.
Your body is a temple.
Yes. All the things.
All the things.
But that movie was really great because it really just, I got to watch a love scene between God and one of his children. And then,
did you look away?
gross. I'm sorry. No, but what I realized was that we are all, I keep saying it over and over, but we really are all heirs and heiresses of Christ. And we are the church.
It's Chess. Not. We're finally royalty.
I am fucking royalty.
We're not
bitch.
A peasant anymore.
Nope. We never were.
Thank God. Literally. Thank
literally
God.
Thank you, though.
God damn it.
God damn it. We're sorry.
I know.
Do we need to repent or? I don't know how this works.
Can we just put like a little shield and we can do confession with each other?
Yeah.
Great.
I said God damn it 14 times today.
And I just said it again. God damn it. Oh, fuck. Oh, I did it again. That would be my confession, just constantly swearing.
Another thing that I've really grown to accept is that I don't need a label. The Kabbalah talks about in this realm, in this dimension, in this life, we try to put rational terms to the irrational. And when it comes to God, not that God is irrational, but it's indescribable. So we belong to these congregations because we need a label. We need to label this, but I don't. God just says, I am. And that's exactly what we are. We just are. I'm not a Christian. I'm not an occultist. I'm not a Mason.
I'm not a hermeticist.
I'm not any of these things.
Gnostic.
No, I just am. And that doesn't mean that any of those labels are wrong. It does. If you belong to that and that suits you, like by all means, do your thing. Nobody's judging. But like, I don't need that anymore. And I only know that because I have come to accept that I am worthy of that ultimate acceptance. And that's the acceptance of self. And I can accept myself because I know that God accepts me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had an awesome daydream of someone saying, well, are you a Christian? And I just go, I am.
I am.
They would be speechless.
I was in the laundromat a couple weeks ago. I think I messaged you about it.
Yeah.
And this was during this time of recent, just like, what the fuck is going on? But I was in the laundromat and this man came up to me and he said, well, hello there. Do you have Jesus in your heart? And normally I would be like, what?
Yeah.
No. Like, I used to get offended at people saying, God bless you.
Right.
Because it felt like they were pushing something on me. But I just looked at him and I was like, yeah, I do. I really do. And he was like, oh, that's awesome. And we had this whole conversation about how he's a pastor. That's irrelevant. But I think the point of all of that is to know that it's okay to put on a different set of lenses. If anything, I think it's inherent in order to truly develop that relationship with yourself and God. You can't just stick in this same one lens view. And not only that, but as long as you're viewing it through this lens of duality, you're the judge and we're not. Like, we're not.
Right.
At all. And that's all I have to say on the whole judgment thing, because we could have a whole rapid hole discussion about the rapture and judgment day. And
that's another conversation.
No. But I really appreciate being able to vocalize this, because it's all these feelings that I've had for these last few weeks. And what I have learned is invaluable. It's allowed me to have more compassion towards myself on this journey, but also towards others, because like, we're all just trying to figure it out and nothing needs to be figured out. Like, it just doesn't. We can study and like, we can grow and all of these things, but like you said earlier, we're never really gonna know. So this idea that there's this end, this benchmark of like, oh, once I get there, like, that's it.
Right.
It's never done. Ever.
Never. And it's not any special way of going on this journey. There's not like I have to go to church. There's not like I have to read books all the time. There's not like I have to pray all the time. There's no right way of going on this journey. Mm-mm. So I think that's just important to say and remind even myself, because I haven't been reading a lot lately. So does that mean I'm not constantly still learning and growing as a spiritual being? No, I'm just learning and growing in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to just remember that you are already on this journey, and however you find God the best is the right way. There's no right or wrong way. And I think as long as, like, if I had to give advice for a listener or anybody really, I would say, as long as you try your best to not pigeonhole yourself and pigeonhole God and put labels and corrections and put a hard fact stamp on things, as long as you're not doing that, you'll be all right. Mm-hmm. If you're always trying to evolve and grow and get to know God better, because you will never know God in his fullest, because he is infinite and we are finite. And as long as you remember that and you constantly strive to get closer and closer to that full knowing, which you will never reach in this lifetime, you'll never reach until you reassimilate back into that fucking primordial soup.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you remember that, I think God will guide you.
100%. I believe that if we pursue God, God will pursue us. That's law of attraction. You hear that all the time in the church. Run after God and he'll come to you. Okay. That's literal. That's the law of the universe. That's the law of God.
And that's another way of saying is keeping your eyes on God. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this kind of in our debunking New Age episode, where Christians are get a little heavy set on the like nothing but God, and
they don't do tarot, don't do this, don't do that. Exactly. God's the only way.
But if you're running straight towards God and you got some tarot cards with you, and that doesn't mean you're not, you're not mistaking the tarot to be the ultimate source of that divinity.
Mm-hmm.
There's still only one source of divinity. And underneath that umbrella of infinity, there's a lot of tools. There's a lot of paths. I mean, the Kabbalah alone has, I don't know what, I think like 32 different paths that you can take on the tree to lead up to Kether, which I need to reintroduce the study of Kabbalah into my life someday soon. But the Kether at the top is that God energy that you can think of as God. But there's still those three veils behind Kether that I think it's like the ever flowing or something like that, that flows into Kether and then begins to fill up all the pools and the fall of the path of the lightning on the way down, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Listen to the Kabbalah episodes for more information on that. But with that symbolism in our heads, even Kether isn't actually the full understanding of God, because we fear God. We can't know God. There's three veils behind Kether that are actually protecting us from the awfulness of God.
Right.
And it's full of awe because it's so almighty, and that's why we fear God. I've been randomly texting you a lot about God fearing.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the things I get caught up with, because it's like, well, if you love God so much, why would you fear God? And that's more of like a semantics thing. But it's also, you described it to me as God is so, like, his love is so empowering and encompassing. It's terrifying.
We couldn't possibly know. And awful doesn't mean this like negative, shitty sense. It just means full of awe. I think you even said
that. I love that, because studying words can help us learn things as well, and awful is a bad thing in our English language. Like, if something was awful, it's not good, but that's it means full of awe,
right?
And awesome is a great thing, so just some awe, just right. I just only want some awe. And that's because that's Kether. Kether is only some of the awe that is God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And one other note that I did want to make about the whole tarot, good, bad divination tool, good, bad. I know we broke it down. We spent a good deal of time talking about it, so I won't stay here too long. But I had a really big realization of, does tarot in and of itself, has it ever been used for dark, negative things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if I'm using tarot and genuinely asking God to guide me, my faith in God has to be stronger than that which is in the world, because it just is. Like, not that the Bible governs my life, but kind of like, greater is he that is in me. So like, if I'm using tarot, I'm not going to dismiss the fact that there have been times where it's been used for darker purposes. I'm not going to dismiss that. But like, also, I know better. We know better. That's why we are able to do a tarot spread with a Bible sitting right next to us.
And we're just
nothing
stoked.
Is set on fire. Yeah, and we're just like, this is church.
Yeah, like, literally.
This is literally church.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to stay.
But also, there's been evil things that have happened within churches and within Christianity as well. I mean, hello, Catholicism. Like, there's been so much.
Josh Duggar or whatever the hell. They're like a big Christian, very popular Christian family. They had their show on TLC, and like, one of the dudes just got convicted of like a lot of sex or predator crimes.
Like Westboro Baptist Church or whatever. Like, shit like that. There's a lot of fucking evil stuff that happens in Christianity. To say that like paganism is the evil thing, which I'm sure there's historical shit that goes between that feud too, but neither here nor there. It's all duality. We're back to the duality. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have your eyes on that higher third perspective, the duality shouldn't bother you so much, and you can kind of just exist in that flow without being too harmed by it. And the Kybalion and the Hermetic Principles talks about how when you learn mastery almost over this connection with God, you are able to really enjoy the like the swing over to the quote good side and the like positive side of the world. I'm using air quotes, but you can enjoy that side. And then when you swing back to the other side, you can kind of exist in it, but raise above it and mm-hmm. be like, wow, this sucks, but God's great. And so I'm going to live through it and it'll be fine. So,
I mean, that's literally what Jesus did. He, the crucifixion, the people literally betrayed Jesus. I mean, there are people following Jesus at that. Jesus was a fucking radical, first of all. I mean, in a time of Sadducees, Pharisees, all of these political nuances going on at that time, Jesus was the one to stand up and say, I'm God's son.
Like your face.
Well, I just can't wrap my mind around it. And that's literally what we are doing, though. That's why when we talk about Jesus being the story of us, I think we got that from listening to Know Thyself.
And what if Jesus was literally trying to say what we're saying? He was. Just said the best.
He fucking was. And that's why there's religions based around this, because it's stuck, because it's true.
Because
that's-
technically we are all God's children. Like we, mm-hmm. you keep saying. So like your husband is also God's son.
Yeah.
So, and we're God's daughters, like
sons and daughters of the King, the Most High. Just forever.
I love it.
But yeah, I think with the idea of Jesus, God, and all of that, I think Jesus was trying to say what we're, that's why I say when I heard Christianity is a religion about Jesus, it's not that it doesn't encompass God, it does, but that's what that's about. So for that to govern my life is just not, that's not what I'm about. I want God to govern my life, and getting stuck into a pigeonholed religion, which again, not all.
It's still of this dimension. It is not of God.
It is. And I think that in a time where there was politics rising, I mean, literally he was bruised for our transgressions. And what that means is he stood up. He held the line. Whoops.
You know, I mean, I kind of understand where the one star, if you're very liberal and you hear just one little thing.
I didn't mean it like that, but
we never do. But you know what? The people listen and get it. So.
Yeah. But it's just so true. And I think Jesus was doing exactly what all of us are trying to do. And I think as long as you are keeping your eyes on God, yeah, you're going to face ridicule. You're going to get one star views.
God damn it. You fucker. I'm not mad, but also like, it's just, it was so far off. Like, where the fuck are you getting this? Anyway, sorry.
It's fine.
Can you tell that this is the first episode we've recorded since we read the one star review?
Yeah. It's fine though, because again, like we were talking about earlier, grand scheme, it all doesn't fucking matter anyway.
Doesn't.
But yeah, I really loved this. This was great. I feel like I got a lot out that I wanted to get out and just talk about, and I feel not that I was ever second guessing, I just feel more confident that this is the way, and the way is God forever.
Love it.
Forever.
Can I put you on the spot a little bit as we close out? Do you want to lead us in a prayer?
Oh my God, yeah. I'm gonna cry
close.
Though
that's okay.
We'll probably cry.
That's fine.
Okay, hold on, I need to.
Okay, we can take a second.
Okay. I'm like about to cry just thinking about it. All right, so to close us out in prayer, this feels good and strange, but great. Dear God, thank you so much for this vessel that you have guided Sarah to really create this platform for us to exercise our ability to learn more about you through learning about each other. Thank you for the time that we're in, as crazy and terrifying as it may be at times. We know that we don't have to worry because we can keep our eyes set on you. Thank you for the wonderful listeners that we have gained throughout this journey, who have challenged us and encouraged us and allowed us to fall into a more authentic version of ourselves. But mostly, just thanks for being you and thanks for your love. And my prayer for everybody is that they would be able to experience you in a way that means the most to them and that is the most real for them, because I truly believe that when we do pursue you, you pursue us right back. So thank you for that, and God bless. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And thank all our listeners.
And thank you.
Yeah.
God, everybody.
And thank God, literally. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This is church. Yeah.